Hey, lovers and friends, I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
I am here with Colin and Amber, and I've probably known Colin for 10, 12 years because he was a student, going through school and was precepting where I worked. I wasn't precepting him, but it's been a while. So, and then you were lucky enough to find him somewhere along the way.
I was, or maybe he found me.
Yeah, one of the two. So let's, I like to usually kind of get a little bit of background. Where were you guys at before you met? I want to start with Amber. Where are you from? Where did you live? Where did you grow up?
I actually grew up here in North Idaho, and went to college down in Lewiston, LCSE, and had a dream of being a teacher and went right to college after school to do that, and was working at the Boys and Girls Club at the time, kind of just getting the feel of working with kids, and met Colin in school down at LCSE, actually.
Dang. Okay, so you knew what you wanted to be.
Yes, it was.
And you stuck with it.
Very clear, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, still teaching today.
That's amazing. That was what I wanted to do in second grade.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be married to the principal.
I definitely never wanted that.
I don't know what happened in second grade, but it came to my mind so many times. So that's pretty cool. So where were you, Colin?
So originally I'm from Bellingham, Washington. And I ended up over in Idaho, went to LCSC for baseball, not school.
Yep.
And started out as a psychology major. I wanted to be a psychologist, and then quickly figured out that wasn't a good avenue for me, and ended up in kinesiology with no clue what I wanted to do.
Well, that's what all baseball players did.
And that's what all baseball players did. We graduated the same year. She graduated on time. I graduated a year late. And then I ended up moving to Montana. I wanted to guide fly fishing out of college. And then from Montana, I ended up getting a job just outside of Jackson Hole, Wyoming, guiding fly fishing.
Really?
Yeah. And that's kind of, we'll talk about that more when we get into, how we started.
Cool.
And then, so actually, when it comes to the healthcare side, she is partially responsible for that because I ended up coming back to Lewiston and, started working in PT.
So I want to get this straight. Amber is in Lewiston all this time.
Yes.
You're like hopping around Wyoming and Montana doing your fly fishing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Rocksteady Amber is over there. Were you teaching
at the time? I was
graduated and then you kind of left.
I was actually working at the Boys and Girls Club and kind of moved into management of that.
Okay.
And just kind of found that I was really loving that job.
Yeah.
Until time was right to move back to where we're at and start teaching. So I just kind of stuck it out at the Boys and Girls Club through that time.
Okay. So then you hated fly fishing. No,
didn't hate fly fishing. Definitely not.
No, I know. Yeah. So then how did you guys end up back in the same area?
Well, there's a lot left out because
There's a lot more to the story.
Within like little pieces, I was Colin's math tutor, if you will. You know,
was he pretending he needed tutoring? Or
yes,
that's
well, yes. He says that, but he definitely needed tutoring. we just shared one math class together, and so that's kind of how we like visual, like, hey, who are you? And then we started.
So this was. I was a sophomore, she was a freshman. in college.
But this was in Lewiston.
This was in Lewiston.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this was
college.
Long before I...
We ever dated or anything.
Long before I left and went to...
So that's how you guys first kind of met and got to
just
know
in the class,
like,
yeah.
You were his tutor.
Yeah. We just... Well, yeah, he was kind of like, hey, do you want to help me with math? And
she,
then was,
she sat behind me in class, so...
And she was like,
hey,
no, we're... Nope.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So then you eventually graduate. Did you guys keep in touch all through college?
Yeah. So we hung out a little bit, became friends. Actually, I was the program director at the Boys and Girls Club and then decided that I would hire Colin at the club.
Oh.
So Colin actually worked at the Boys and Girls Club when I was direct supervisor. And so I was his boss for a while. And we...
You must have been a good boss.
I was a great boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was
so
a good boss.
So we became friends through that. And then he ended up moving in with my roommate and I, my friend and I. Because we were moving, looking for a new house. And Colin was looking for somewhere to live. And we're like, well, just move in with us. You know, college kids. And so we ended up living together as roommates. For a while.
Okay.
All before we were ever dating or anything. There was never a romantic relationship through all of that, but we became really close friends.
Okay. Yeah. So that's amazing. That you guys so you live together. There's so many things that you learn, like whether or not that could actually work.
Oh yeah.
In the long term.
We learned a lot as roommates before we ever dated about each other.
Right.
Yeah, that's
a pretty big test.
Roommates. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And eventually Colin went and caught some fish.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he was ready to go and
wanted
to do something else.
Get out of okay. My memories of, and I've never lived there, I've only gone there, but you eventually do get used to the paper mill.
Yes.
But it takes time.
Well, it still smells at night,
still,
I think.
Yeah.
Like,
even when
still,
you live there.
Yeah. Even then.
If you leave for a few days and then come back, you can smell
it's
it.
Bad, yeah.
Yeah.
But when you're there, you kind of get used to it. And
yeah,
it depends on which way the wind blows too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. So he's like, I'm out of here. You're rock steady. Stick there.
Yeah.
And then how did you, you went back to Lewiston?
Well, not yet.
Not yet. So I ended up in, we stayed in touch and talked and we were friends. And I couldn't find a fly fishing job in Missoula, I sent out resumes kind of across the Northwest and ended up getting that job in just on the Idaho side of Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Oh, okay.
So the West
Island Park.
So we guided Island Park area. So we guided the Henry's Fork, the South Fork of the Snake, and the Teton
Aww.
River. I was there that summer, and we had a good mutual friend, one of my teammates in college. His name was Mike. And somehow we ended up, she decided that she was going to come down and visit down there and see the area.
He wanted to take us fishing, and Mike was willing to go with. So I went on an 8-hour road trip with a buddy of his. I showed up at this bachelor pad that looked like they hadn't cleaned in 10 years. And he was like, yeah, we don't really even eat here. And then, it was a total guy move, total bachelor move. So we spent a couple of days there and fly fished and caught nothing. So he was a really good guide.
Yeah. Well, your clients need to be.
I think this is just like the math situation.
Yeah.
I would have done the same thing. I'm like, okay, the longer you hold out on the fish, maybe tomorrow.
So in my defense with the whole math situation,
okay,
I was getting an A in that class no matter what, and I knew that. And I just wanted to be tutored. I didn't need to be tutored.
Oh, I knew that too.
I didn't need to be tutored, but it was.
There we go. I know how this works.
Yeah.
Okay. So you end up going on a fly fishing trip.
Yeah. So it was that trip where
I guess I decided, okay, I guess I like you. I drove 8 hours to spend a weekend fishing, so I guess like you. And that was kind of the start of, like, our relationship becoming a relationship.
Yeah.
Well, kind of, I guess. It was like, I think he kissed me once that weekend, like, goodbye or something one night, and I don't even think he likes me. And my friend on the 8-hour drive home was like, he's obsessed with you.
Yeah. So I was getting the other side of it. I was getting that same reaction too, because I was saying, I don't think she likes me. I've been chasing her all this time since
for years.
Math class. And
I was playing dumb.
Yeah.
I did everything I could.
Yeah. I mean, I was trying hard.
Yeah.
And, he's like, dude, she just drove 8 hours to see you. Mm. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, we're good friends. She just wants to come visit. And
oh my God.
He was trying to convince me the whole time. And then actually our first kiss was up on the top of Teton Pass. It's the pass in between Jackson Hole and Driggs.
Okay.
Actually, Victor. There's a town, Victor, small little town that comes before that. But it was up there in the dark, and we had just spent the night dancing at the Million Dollar Cowboy Bar.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What is this?
You've never been to the Million Dollar
Cowboy Bar. No, is it outside of Jackson?
It's in Jackson.
Okay.
It's like a famous bar in Jackson. They have, like, saddles as bar stools. You know, it's all country western themed.
So did you get, like, a flat tire, like, on purpose to have to pull off? And then
no, that's a good idea, though.
I mean, these are the kinds of moves.
Yeah, yeah. No, it just kind of happened spontaneously up there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure we had some beers that night. And kind of loosened things up.
Yeah.
And but, yeah, it really just happened spontaneously.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet.
That was a long time coming. We really became, I mean, we were really close friends for quite a while. And I think that was like that, like, hill, like, we're really close friends. Like, what if it doesn't work? Then I lose a friend. And, you know, so like, I finally was like, you know what, it's worth it.
And it was kind of odd to look back on it.
Scary
because
thing.
The girlfriends that I had at those
were
times.
So awful.
She didn't like any of them.
Lord.
So,
well, of course not.
Yeah.
They were awful.
Oh, you probably felt the same way. It's like, what are we doing here?
Sometimes that's what grew our friendship, was talking about how stupid his girlfriends were, and, you know.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So tell me, do you remember your first date?
So I would say, honestly, that was our first date.
Yeah.
Fly fishing?
Yeah.
Well, at the Million Dollar Cowboy Bar, I would say that was officially.
That weekend itself was
kind
of really the first time we really were dating.
Yeah. So I do remember very vividly, my roommate down there, his name was Jonathan. And I remember my dad traded in a vehicle for me and then bought a Toyota Tacoma. And
a two-seater?
It had a backseat, small backseat. Yeah. And he wanted to meet me in Missoula to get the car that he was trading in for me, my car. And then he was going to drive it back. And I was going to pick up that Tacoma. And so it was her and Mike and me and Jonathan. Or did you ride back with? Did you ride back with me to Missoula?
I don't know.
But anyways, I remember just the feeling of that whole drive, just the feeling of excitement and just the feeling I've never felt before.
Yeah.
After this weekend. I think at that point I knew, I mean, she would think I'm crazy that she was the one. I'd never felt that feeling.
Yeah, you're done for. Like, forget about it. No one stands a chance.
Yeah.
Okay, Moose, you gotta get down.
Down.
Yeah.
You gotta get down, Moose.
You're
a big boy.
Moose, get down.
I'm used to my 10-pound chihuahua.
Yeah.
He is not 10 pounds. Times 10.
But he's a sweet
He's a sweetie.
Yeah.
Yeah. When did you know, Amber?
I think it was that trip in Jackson Hole.
Yeah.
Like, that was kind of it.
Kind of magical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, but you guys at this time, like, you're living on opposite sides of the state, right?
Yeah.
You had to go 8 hours back.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you guys do? How did you make it work?
Well, so the guiding season ends, typically when the snow starts flying. I had applied for a job up at Grand Targhee Ski Resort as a ski instructor.
That's in Jackson, right? I'm terrible.
It's on the Idaho side
of the
Tetons. So just like straight over the hill from Jackson Hole.
Oh, okay.
And I got the job. I was pretty excited about it, but I was kind of caught in this conundrum because it was way too far away to drive in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And
especially.
So
there's no direct routes either. It's like you have to make a big U.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just, after the guiding season was over, I packed everything up and I called who was supposed to be the supervisor at Grand Targhee and said, I'm sorry, I can't take the job.
Yeah.
And I went back to Lewiston.
With no plans.
Actually,
No job, nothing.
What I ended up doing is I ended up back
to our house that we were roommates in.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So there was a stop before that. I went to Missoula and I'm like, I can find something to do in Missoula for the winter.
Yeah.
And then I'll go back.
Missoula's a little closer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, as we found, it was
more.
There were, I had some really close calls going over that pass and back. It's a pretty nasty road.
Oh,
we even talked about me moving to Missoula. I got my teaching certificate in Montana and like thought about, let's look for jobs there. Maybe we could go over that way. But we ended up just staying in Lewiston. You came back and stayed there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Now, did you go to school down there for PT school?
No, NIC.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So then eventually you worked back up.
You know, he started working in Lewiston as a PTA when he moved back.
As an aide.
Oh, okay.
When he moved back to Lewiston. So that was kind of his intro into physical therapy.
At some point in time, I thought you were a logger. Okay.
Yes.
That was his intro to the world of North Idaho.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you do that during school? Because I thought that that's what you were doing.
Yeah,
right.
Well, yes and no. I mean, so it's one of my best friends that owns the company.
Okay.
And so I started logging with him actually right before I went back into school. And did that for a little bit. And then honestly, when I got out of school and graduated, passed boards, I stayed in it. I wanted to continue to help him.
Yeah.
I stayed in it until it was like that next winter, when work kind of slows down a bit. A lot of the loggers pick up in the wintertime, but, I was doing a combination of two things, logging and environmental reclamation, like erosion control and stuff.
Yeah.
And the erosion control stuff goes away in the wintertime because the ground's frozen.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like slightly laid off, I guess you could say, partially laid off. And
I use my degree.
Yeah, I'm like, I have a degree. I should probably use it.
Yeah.
So the first place I walked into was AFS.
Oh, I did not realize that.
Yeah.
You've been there ever since. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So at what point, I want to hear how you guys finally figured out you could not live without each other.
Yeah.
Which is like a big, scary move.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even just that first ask her out on a date or whatever, you know. But how do you move from that? I'm guessing Colin proposed.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So we were still in Lewiston, actually, when we got married. We were living in Lewiston. I was working as an aide. She was still managing the Boys and Girls Club. Then Bryden came along. And when
that was after we were married.
Yeah, that was after we were married.
Yeah, no, how I want to know how you proposed.
Back up.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
the proposal.
So,
because I want to know what it's like to be a dude. Like, that seems terrifying.
It was a little nerve wracking. It was a little nerve wracking. So we ended up, I ended up planning, I knew I was going to propose to her. My parents already knew. And I had asked her dad, and her dad was excited and said, well, I think she'll say yes. That was his response. And so I knew I was going to do it. We planned a trip up to Banff and Jasper in Canada. It was for actually her birthday. We were up there for her birthday. And I booked a night in, I can't remember the name of the lodge. It's the big famous lodge up there in Jasper that burnt down in the fires this summer.
Oh.
And
dang.
Yeah. And I remember, I kind of didn't really know how I was going to do it. I knew the night I was going to do it, but I didn't really know like how I was going to do it. Like we went to dinner in the lodge there. Mm-hmm. They had some music and we danced. And then we ended up at the end of the night, we came back to the room and we were out on the, there was like a back porch of this little cabin. And we went out there and I proposed to her. So
did you know it was coming?
I totally knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Did your dad tell you?
No, I just had a feeling. Like, it was a special trip. And
yeah,
Colin's always kind of been somebody who, like, you know, he makes meaning out of things that you do. And I just knew it was special. And I knew something was going to happen. I had a...
Had you guys been talking a little bit about it, or?
Not a lot. I mean, we had talked about,
like future.
Yeah, like, future. Yeah. We knew, like, that was kind of where we were going. It was just kind of, like, when, and, you know, when is it going to happen? How's it going to happen?
Yeah, so you were surprised, but not, like, blindsided.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Aw, that's so sweet. Okay. And did you, like, did you pick out the ring and have it all ready to go?
So, actually, the engagement ring was my mom's.
What?
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
So
yeah.
So they used the diamonds out of my mom's engagement ring.
Oh, and then you had just had a reset.
Yeah.
However, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So
had it designed, it has like hearts on the side. Like when you look in the side of it, like it has hearts that he picked out and designed. So it was pretty. Yeah,
that's super thoughtful. That's so sweet.
To be very romantic. Like, it started out like he just was always very thoughtful and romantic. He used to ask me to go to the grocery store with him because he didn't want to go alone.
Yeah.
Now it's like,
it gets harder to do those kinds of things when you have
so
much to juggle.
Kids, yeah, life's crazy.
Yeah, it gets a little wild.
Yeah.
So, well,
I do better than I do now, but.
Oh,
we all.
I mean, that's why it's like nice to stop and think back, like, oh, we had a spark.
Yeah.
Because it's life. It does get ahead of us.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, like, what are your favorite things to do? What's your favorite thing to do with Colin?
I like doing family things together. Like, I love going out on the boat with all of us, fishing, like, just being there. I mean, he likes the fishing part, and I like the, you know, entertainment part and the quality time and hiking and camping and, you know, just kind of being, doing things
and I'm
being
gonna,
together.
Yeah. I'm going to guess like 100% Colin would say the same. What's your favorite thing to do with Amber?
I would say being out in the boat and camping, not a big hiker unless I'm chasing.
He likes to hike.
Oh,
fun hike.
I know. I'm with you.
I think, but
something
I've liked to do over time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So this brings up
for that.
This brings up a fun memory. I remember when she came over to tutor me. There wasn't much tutoring that happened. We just talked, and
because you really needed that tutoring.
Yeah. So at this point, I wasn't 100% adapted to the culture in Idaho. I came from the city, and my impression of girls was, you know, they go shopping and they like to go to movies and stuff like that. And I'll never forget when I asked her to what she likes to do. She goes, well, I like to go mudding and I like to go four-wheeling and I like to go fishing and hunting. And I'm like,
did you start drooling right
my first,
there?
Well, my first thought was, whoa, she's more man than I am. And
oh, that's awesome.
But it wasn't that was not stuff that girls did on where I grew up. And so it was a little unusual to me, but it didn't scare me off, obviously.
So, like, I think
it planted the magnet.
Yeah.
Dream.
Closer. Yeah, if there was a cartoon, I guess they would like turn right into hearts and like go.
Yeah.
So that brings me to kind of my next question. What did you most admire about your partner?
You want to go first? You want me to go first?
That would take me a minute.
I think then he just was so committed. Like, I just knew that he was committed. I knew that he loved me more than anything. And that, like, just made me feel so confident in my choice and knowing that, like, it's going to be okay because he's, you know, really cares and was just super committed. And he was super thoughtful and nice. And, you know, he wore his heart on his sleeve back then. You know, his favorite movie was A Notebook, and he just was emotional. You know, the friendship connection that we had, I just knew that we had a real connection in life. And so it was just those things that I think meant more than any of the like little things or superficial things that, you know, mattered
right
back then, even as young human beings we were, like the things that mattered, he had it. So
yeah.
You hit the nail on the head. I would have to say those are awesome qualities.
Yeah.
How about?
Yeah.
What would you say?
So for me, I mean, I would say the first thing obviously was her looks at that time.
I did used to look good.
Actually, I think she's more beautiful today than she was back then. But, and then, you know, when we started talking, and I was a little thrown off by the what she was interested in, but
because you were a city slicker,
I was a city slicker. I mean, I thought I was going into it thinking, you know, we're going to go to movies and we're going to go shopping, and it's not really stuff that I like to do, but
I'll put up with it.
Yeah, I'll put up with it. You know,
for her
and. For me, it just was her intelligence and her caring. And I felt like we had a common interest and I just enjoyed being with her. And so that was kind of my impression. And that's why I kept chasing.
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother story too. I mean, the joke is that she finally got sick of me chasing and I left, and because I liked her for a while. And I think she knew that. I can't say I really, really tried that hard. Part of it was nervousness. I just didn't feel like she was interested, you know?
Well, and you had stupid girlfriends that you'd bring around and they were just, it wasn't always right.
And I was a baseball player. And
sometimes we do that because we're like trying to like make the other person jealous. We do weird things when it's like the person right in front of me has been here all the time.
Yeah.
But we just, I don't know, sometimes it's scary to tell yourself you deserve something great.
Yeah.
You know,
I do remember we hung out one night with some of her friends. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know anybody there. I remember Yvonne was there and you went into the bathroom, and Yvonne, being Yvonne at that time, says out loud, "You like Amber, don't you?"
Oh.
In front of everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, wow, that was pretty blunt.
Yeah, we call it out.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you know, I didn't want to say it out loud because she could probably hear.
Yeah.
I
think that's probably one of the scariest things is to put that out there because now there's the opportunity to be rejected.
Yeah.
And that's so hard.
Yes.
And it is hard to take that step.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, she semi-rejected me for probably 6 years.
It's not rejection when there was never initiation.
I have to say, like, to be a guy and have to ask somebody out on a date, I can't imagine. I'm so glad I've never had to do that before. Terrifying.
Right.
And I can't imagine how scary that is. So, and somehow, eventually it happens. But it's not easy, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you guys just one last question, but I am curious. What do you guys like the very, very most about your relationship? Because you guys, okay, we didn't even make this clear. You guys have been married now, as it stands.
For 14 years.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people don't make it that far.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you guys have a lot of time under your belt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we,
years,
yeah, so
kids.
We have three kids. They're somewhat spread out. Brian was born, probably a year and a half after we got married.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, our relationship at this point is really revolved around the kids and the family. Mm-hmm. And, but now that the kids are getting older, we're finding that her and I are actually able to get away and do stuff now,
you know?
And like this year we went on the first vacation that we've gone on together since we got married.
Yeah.
And went down to Vegas and it was amazing.
Aw, yeah.
It was a really fun trip. I feel like she's a lot more understanding than she should be. I mean, it's like she's raising four kids.
Oh, Colin.
And,
yeah.
You know, the question's really got to be, how has she put up with me this long? You know?
So I would say probably gratitude.
Yeah. 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 Gratitude.
For endless patience.
Patience. Yep. Yep. You know, the neat thing about our relationship is it seems to be blossoming more. I mean, we hit a lot of rough patches and had a lot of disagreements early on. And mainly that was because of my maturity, essentially. We've fought through those. It's been hard. But we just seem to grow each time. And
that's the key.
Things just get better and better.
What would you say is your, I'm curious, Amber, because what would you say? Because this is actually one of the things I do like to ask people, like when you have a disagreement, because this happens, like what's your key strategy? Like, how do you get through that? Because sometimes that can break people.
We're really good at avoiding each other for that amount of time until we realize that this really sucks to live in this mode of like non-communication. I just think our as our life has evolved, like our focus changes. You know, what is going on? Is it toddlers and babies and then it's, you know, kids in school and jobs and changes in jobs. You know, it's just like individually our focuses adjust, and then our as a family our focuses adjust, and you know, it doesn't always agree, but when we do disagree, I think we're always able to eventually come back around and, you know, have the discussion of like, well, here's my perspective, like here's why I need your support in this, or here's why I'm feeling this way. And I think once we allow each other to kind of fester in our own worlds, then we can come back together and kind of talk it out. And,
yeah,
you know, we always end up doing that. I mean, sometimes it takes longer than others until we get to that point. But I think we always just, you know, it's that commitment. I think we're both committed to our family and our relationship. And we just always come back to that. Like, you know, we made this commitment. We're here to work it out. Like, it's nothing's worth losing that. You know, we can work through it.
Yeah. So part of it too is just we take confrontation differently. When I'm faced with confrontation, it's easiest just to get over it, you know, and ignore it.
That's a good
one. And so for me, it's always, for me, it's always the silent treatment, and, you know, we'll just come back and we'll be over it. And for her, she really wants to talk through things, and, you know, because it makes things better in the future, and it makes us understand each other better. And so, you know, we always, thanks to her, we always end up in just talking about it.
Yeah. You come back around and you can resolve things.
Yep.
And I think that's like a important thing to recognize is like, yeah, we do have different ways we react to things, but we maybe need to take a little time out and let each other figure it out and then circle back.
Yeah.
And that fulfills both of our needs. Because I think a lot of people just let it fester for years until it,
till it
becomes a cancer, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, the foundation of our relationship was built on a friendship of, you know, that communication that we built as a friendship.
Yeah.
And I just always feel like, you know, that communication is what built that friendship. It's what is going to have to be there to continue it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well said. Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else you guys want to share? Any bits of advice, you know, for?
I mean, I would say, you know, it's tough, but when you, when you work through it, it just gets better and better. And it's important to really put that effort in and work through things, because you'll grow each time you do it.
Yeah.
And, I would say that's my bit of advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that I have anything different or to add, I guess.
I love it. That's great.
Yeah.
You guys, that's so sweet.
Love it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I appreciate you so much for, letting me pick your brains and kind of hear about your story. Right now, my kiddos are at that age where they're out and about and they're, you know, ready to mingle.
Yeah. Building their own little
lives. And it's fun, like, just talking to them. And they're like, oh, this is going on. Like, what do I do? And I'm like, oh, that's tough. You know?
I couldn't imagine going through any of it again.
Yeah. I know. But thinking like, oh, nope, I couldn't go back to that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was such a great experience because it makes you know what you want and appreciate what you've got.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Thanks, you guys. Lots of goodies for people to learn from. So, appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
All right. Everybody that listened, if you guys want to listen to this, it's on myperfectromance.com or any podcast site like Spotify, Apple, Play, Pandora. It'll be there.